Draft on Draft Podcast. I am Corey Kinnon alongside Dalton Miller. We're going to continue our series here. So far, we have used superlative traits for positions to build the ideal prospect. Again, we've done running backs, and no, we did not use David Montgomery for every that's a throwback to the David Montgomery meme of like
the eyes David of David Montgomery meme is great.
Oh, yeah. It's so good. Where they just list every elite running back.
The feet of Saquon Barkley, the size of, yeah, it was incredible. I remember that graphic. It was incredible.
Do you remember back when the tone setters were like in their heyday, like 2021, and they had a huge like Benny Snell obsession, and they made a fake graphic off of that. It just said the eyes of Benny Snell, the feet of Benny Snell. Just like everything of Benny Snell. So we've done that for running backs and wide receivers so far. And now we're going to dive into some tight ends. So we're going to build our ideal tight ends. And yes, there's quite a bit of overlap here because
we ain't snake draft in this one. Okay.
There aren't enough tight ends to snake draft here. Yeah. Geez. Not enough tight ends to snake draft here. So we broke it down into seven different categories here to build our ideal tight end. Catch radius, route running, blocking, explosiveness, yak ability, vertical threat, and size. So, Dalton, do you have anything that you want to bring to the table before we dive into this?
This one was tough. And it's really tough because you have one or two guys that you want to use for like four or five different categories here.
Yep.
And so you have to kind of pick and choose, especially when you're trying to build the best that you can. Mm-hmm. You really have to pick and choose where you want to put those guys. And I don't know if I got it right. I don't know if Corey got it right, but you guys can tell us if we got it right.
Well, let's dive in. Let's start with catch radius.
Yeah. Let's just get Tyler Warren out of the way already. The ball skills for him, the ability to climb the ladder and finish over top of guys, finish through guys, is fantastic. And part of that goes to, like, I mean, again, like, could have used him for size. Could have used him for yak ability. Like, could have used him as the vertical threat or the explosiveness.
Yeah.
And towards the end of the year, you could have thrown him in there as a blocker as well, because, I mean, as a run blocker late in the year, he was devastating. And he's a pretty good route. He's just pretty much a pretty good football player. But there are some plays that he makes along the sidelines with guys draped all over him where you really do get to see the catch radius and you get to see how impressive he is as an athlete going up and getting the football. And so I just got him out of the way early.
At the end of the day, like, we're trying to build a Tyler Warren.
Yeah.
So like, pretty much, yeah. So like, throw Tyler Warren in there wherever you want. I went with the tight end 2 for some people, 1B for some people, 1A. I'm going to take Colson.
Wide receiver 5.
Yeah, for sure. Again, Colson Loveland's a guy that you could have used for route running, vertical threat, probably not explosiveness or yak ability, but I went catch radius just because I do believe that he has the ability to make some unbelievable adjustments on the football as well. When he goes up and he gets it, he's got some very plucky hands, 32 inch arms on his 6'5" frame. So again, Colson Loveland's not going to be a guy that you're going to use on blocking for these things anytime soon. Although I do think he'll get after it a little bit, but he's not going to be known for it. But what he will be known for is his ability to make adjustments on the football. And I'm not going to spoil, we're going to place him to go into that scouting report any further. So I'm going to go with Colson Loveland for my catch radius guy here.
Yeah. I don't think that that's a bad decision whatsoever. And you know, I'm going to go ahead because he's the next guy up for me. I'm going to use him for route running. And for me, it kind of comes down to like the fluidity of a player as a tight end, especially if you're going to be used as a move tight end, if you're going to be used in the slot, if you're going to be used out wide, like Colson Loveland was in the Michigan offense. I think his fluidity as a tight end is really what separates him from the rest of the group. I think it's why a lot of people had him as tight end one for a very long time in this class until Tyler Warren just made it unquestionable. And at the end of the day, it's part of the reason why I kind of look at him less as a tight end and more as a wide receiver who can block, as a Marquez Colston type big slot, big wide receiver X type of dude. And it's because he has the fluidity to get in and out of breaks. And while I don't think that he is super explosive in and out of his breaks, I do think that he has the ability to manipulate defenders and get them on their back foot a little bit. So for me, Colson Loveland is that dude. He still produced somehow at Michigan this year with horrific quarterback play. And I think it goes to just how reliable of a weapon he was in the passing attack.
Yeah. Again, Tyler Warren and Colson Loveland were the two hardest because, again, there's multiple categories. For me, I went Elijah Arroyo for route running. And what it comes down to of why I wanted to go Arroyo over Loveland is I think that Loveland is a very smooth route runner, but I think Elijah Arroyo is a more sudden route runner, and perhaps the most sudden route runner in the class. So we're at those top of the stents. He does have a little bit of that ability to stick his foot in the ground and force jarring adjustments on defensive backs, catch them a little flat-footed there. And especially over the middle of those fields, like on the stick and nods, the posts, like those sorts of things, he's got a lot of wiggle in his hips and a lot of suddenness to even kind of create a little bit of a blind spot as a tight end, which is really impressive. So that's the big difference of why I went Elijah Arroyo over Colson Loveland for route running is I just have an affinity for guys who are like elite and sudden at the top of their routes. To me, this is like the 2022 debate between Garrett Wilson and Chris Olave, the two Ohio State receivers, about who is the better route runner, where I felt like Olave was very much a very smooth mover, but Garrett Wilson always had like was willing to take an extra step at the top of his routes if that step had a purpose. And that's kind of how I feel about this debate between Loveland and Arroyo for route running here. Like there are extra steps at the top of his routes, but I think they serve purposes of creating a little of extra suddenness and stabbiness at the top of his routes. So I went Elijah Arroyo.
Not a bad decision, and you will see him again on my list as well. Like we said, we're just kind of recycling all the same names for these. And mine makes a lot of sense as well for where I chose him. What doesn't make okay. I'm just going to get into it because that transition was too good. What doesn't make a lot of sense is the explosiveness category. I'm skipping over blocking for a second. The explosiveness category. I don't see it on tape. This is very much a Matthew Golden type deal. I think that there is a chance that the swag, that the drip, one would say, of Terrence Ferguson made him explosive for the NFL Combine, because on tape you really don't see it. But I do think, and from the start, for me, Terrence Ferguson was a guy where I was like, on day three, I can see him definitely carving out a role as like a 5 to 750 yard guy. The NFL level, who's a decent blocker. He has decent, like he has all of these things. Plus, he looks awesome on the field, and that drip is for real. But I never saw that high end explosiveness. And then he tested, and he jumped 39 inches at 247 pounds. His broad jump was 10.02, and he ran a 4.63. And not only did he run a 4.63, but his top end was a better percentile than his 10-yard split. So it's not like he got off the line like a freak and slowed down. No, he's got the juice. And I'm just thinking, and this is all with nearly 33-inch arms as well. And so when you put all this together, it's like, well, was he just not featured enough? Was he just not asked to do enough in that Oregon offense because they had Tez, because Jordan James was getting outside zone looks all the time, because they had I just wonder if this is a case of not using a tight end in a college offense. And that's what I wonder about. And that's why when we talk about tight ends and we talk about athletic testing and the importance of it, if Terrence Ferguson goes in the top 60, okay, I get it. Because I didn't hate his tape, and he's a freak athlete and he's got good size. And at that position, we say it over and over again, this ish matters.
Yeah, I guess if you can find a role for him, you can figure out how to get him on the field. But again, I agree with you that I didn't see it on tape, and that's why he's not on my list. The testing is the testing, but like, to me,
it's just real. At the end of the day, it's real. It's the reason why Matthew Golden is going to go top 15.
Yeah, I mean, it's fair. To me, it feels very, and this is maybe not fair because this player's been hurt quite a bit in his career, but it feels very Jelani Woods-ish to me when he tested as a one out of one athlete at the tight end position coming out of Virginia. But like on tape, Jelani Woods
was
lumbering. No, that's true. And that's the thing with Ferguson, though, is I don't think Ferguson's very good, but like Jelani Woods was lumbering on tape. I didn't think he had very much wiggle. I didn't see that much explosiveness on tape. But he still went second round because he tested it as a one out of one athlete.
And what I will say about Ferguson is I did see more from him at the Senior Bowl. But again, he was in a familiar environment there because he had his quarterback there. Yeah. And that helped. His quarterback looked awful when he wasn't throwing to him or Tez. But I thought that Ferguson looked good at the Senior Bowl. So
that's fair. For explosiveness, for me, this is where I put Tyler Warren. Again, I got to put him somewhere. His ability to get into open field and to green grass as a on designated touches, his ability to pull away from safeties, linebackers. I wish he would have run at his pro day. I wish we would have had a time, but like I think he would have been sub 4.7, like a 4.68, 4.65, something like that. Like he would have ran one of the best in the class at 6'6", 260. So this is where Warren's coming off the board for me, because I don't feel the need to go too deep into it, because again, we're trying to build a Tyler Warren.
I want to go a little bit deeper into this real quick.
You because, go for it then. Yeah,
because like out of the backfield, you see the throttle response that he has, and it's really fun because they give him just designed freaking runs outside of the tackle, and he consistently beats guys to the sideline. Mm-hmm. And some of it is he's really kind of he's interesting with the ball. He although he's like big and lumbering like a tight end would be, mm-hmm. that throttle response and that vision is there with him as a runner. And I mean, that's why you see PFF superlatives have him as the yak leader and the yak guy. And that makes total sense too, because he's the guy that you can put the ball in his hands in the backfield and he'll make plays with it. It's why I see visions of Anthony Richardson and Jonathan Taylor and Tyler Warren all in the same backfield. And I have dreams about that.
Yeah. Ballard would have to get real aggressive to make that move happen. But
yeah, I think so too. But also tight end, so maybe not, but probably.
We'll see if he gets past the Jets.
Yeah, we'll see if he gets past the Jets. But no, Tyler Warren for explosiveness is a phenomenal pick. And that might give you the edge in this entire thing over me. But he didn't test, so we don't know for sure. We can get to blocking now because we have the same guy, and it's really the same guy for the next name that you can pick. It's Jackson Hawes.
Yeah,
it's Jackson Hawes.
He's a cage fighter on the football field, man.
And it's funny. Like, I mean, we're not using him for size because he's not like huge. He's a well proportioned tight end. I think when you look at modern tight ends, they're all kind of like is between 6'4 and 6'6 and like between 245 and 255 pounds. Mm-hmm. Like only the true freaks like Tyler Warren are like 260, 260 plus. Every once in a while, you'll see a West Coast tight end that plays at Utah or Stanford that's 6'7. But most of these guys are between 6'4 and 6'6, and they're all between 245 and 255. There is just that is what a tight end is now. And that is what he is. But he's just an asshole. He's just an asshole, man. He's a cage fighter. He is a guy who wants to get in and beat you up. He is a fun player to watch in that sense.
Yeah, man. Put on 55 pounds and go play guard. Put on 55 pounds and go play guard. Man, don't really do that, but that. Yeah. All right, for Yak, we both have the same guy here, and it's Harold Fannin Jr. out of Bowling Green. Again, it's very rare to see a player line up at running back and get designated handoffs and touches out of the backfield. What he's able to do in the screen game, he probably could have used him on explosiveness. I know he didn't test as explosive as he looked on tape. And he is like, nobody's using him for like route running or any fluid thing.
You could have used him for hands too, because he literally doesn't drop the ball. Like catch radius is a little bit different.
Yeah, for sure. But they'll throw him like tunnel screens. They'll give him designated touches out of the back, handoffs out of the backfield. What he did against Texas A&M after the catch is just unbelievable. Especially against an SEC school, a top tier SEC school, as a guy from Bowling Green in that game. And you could say the same against the Penn State game too, but once he's got the football in his hands, he's a lot of fun. And so I really dream of Harold Fannin Jr. fitting into a team that loves 12, 13 personnel that can use him almost exclusively as an offline H-back ish, a little bit of big slot, but I love him more like an H-back kind of slide stuff. Yeah. Some more slide stuff, get him into space, get the football in his hands. I think like and this is because I cover the team, but like the Cleveland Browns come to mind, is like pairing him with David Njoku would be so much fun as they go back to 13 personnel. The Arizona Cardinals, and I know they drafted Tip Ryman as kind of that 12 personnel, but more of like the jumbo 12, because he's also tested like an athlete, but more of a dominant blocker. So like pairing that tight end room with him and McBride would be a really complete tight end room, I think, in Arizona. But there are a lot of fun usages. I don't think this guy's ever going to be a tight end one. I don't think he's ever going to be the leader in the tight end room at the NFL level, but if you could find a role for him as an H-back, as a slide, get him some big slot reps as well, just find ways to get the football into his hands in green grass. I think that's going to be an excellent fit for Fannin Jr.
Mike McDaniel, fullback, Kyle Juszczyk 2.0.
I mean, Jonnu Smith, did you see Jonnu Smith did with Mike McDaniel last year? So like,
yeah. Yep. But no, I mean, Harold Fannin Jr., I kind of called him the Debo Samuel of tight ends. And it's because of that post-catch ability. It's because although there is some very significant and obvious stiffness in the way that he moves, when he has the ball in his hands, that stiffness that he has as a route runner, as a just runner in general, he legitimately looks like he is laboring through his steps.
He does.
It is awkward.
He's very flat-footed, yeah.
You get the ball in his hands and he just makes people miss. He just makes people miss, and he's rocked up. He's built like a freak. Like, he is a lot of fun. You just need to be a little bit creative with him. You need to get him on the move as a blocker. You're right. And I think that's why a transition of fullback, plus being 6'2 or 6'3 or however tall he is, not really built like a tight end. He's built more like a hybrid player. And so use him in that little bit of a hybrid role. But he definitely has the pure violence and physicality to be a blocker. He just needs to figure it out a little bit.
Yeah, if you go back to his 2023 tape, he's got some reps against Minnesota in the bowl game where he's throwing his weight around. He's got some reps against Western Michigan where he's going one-on-one against Marshawn Neyland, who was drafted in the second round by the Cowboys last year. And he's got his hips dropped and he's locked out against Marshawn Neyland and some reps too. So he's not a great blocker, but he's definitely willing to throw his weight around a little bit. And again, he's got some fun like seals out in space too on some outside runs too. But moving on to vertical threat, Dalton.
You go first on this one because I need to pick the numbers up for here. I accidentally clicked out of them.
Okay, so for my vertical threat, I'm going to go with the converted wide receiver who's put on a bunch of weight throughout his time at the University of Syracuse. And I'm going to go with Aronde Gadsden here, who I think is maybe the ideal. Well, I mean, Colson Loveland, obviously, but like outside of Colson Loveland, like the ideal F tight end in this class, who you're not going to put him in line, but you can get some slot and even some X reps out of him in mismatch situations to get a little size on the field in pass heavy situations, five wides. You could do a lot with him. And if you want to get some smaller guys in the slots and things like that too. But again, he's definitely going to win from the slot a lot. Definitely not as athletic as like a Mike Gesicki or something like that, but obviously didn't test as well as Mike Gesicki did either. But being that converted receiver, watching him on tape, he's got plenty of reps winning vertically down the field, up the seam. So I'm going to go with Aronde Gadsden here for my vertical threat.
Yes, and my vertical threat, it shouldn't be much of a shock here, but it's going to be Miami's Elijah Arroyo. I believe he had the most big plays of any tight end this year in college football. I'm trying to check the numbers here, but PFF wants to be a little bit slow right now. So let's see. He had 255 receiving yards on throws of 20 plus yards, which was second among power four tight ends. So he was second in that category. How much of that is the Miami offense and the quarterback running around and pushing the ball downfield? Because you look at their wide receiver, in Xavier Restrepo, and he averaged nearly 17 yards a catch, and he's definitely not a pure vertical threat. But Elijah Arroyo is somebody who really started to come on late in the year when it comes to like the narrative of tight ends in this class, and everybody kind of got around to his tape and they're like, oh yeah, like another case of a really athletic player with good size and, like you said, a snappy ability in and out of his breaks. Like, he's somebody who is kind of hidden in a college offense, and that's just kind of what happens to tight ends at the college level overall. On those downfield throws here, trying to get to it once again. Wait, one. 255 yards. Yes, only Reed Harris had more. And he was averaging 45 yards per reception in those, with an ADOT of 35. But Elijah Arroyo, a big ADOT as well from Cam Ward. And he has the size, the frame, and the athleticism to be that seam threat at the next level as well. I think he's one of those guys who is just starting to tap their potential and will find that potential, or could find that potential, at the NFL level.
Mm-hmm. I love it. He's got to stay healthy. That's the big thing with that kind of scares me for Arroyo, is just the lack of games that he's played. Man,
for me, terrifying. For me, man, when it comes to tight ends, I almost throw it out the window, because I just feel like every tight end in the world gets hurt all of the time. There's something about that position. And I think it kind of comes down to the same thing that I think of whenever I think of guys like Elgton Jenkins, guys on the offensive line that move around a lot. When you're asked to do things that are out of the ordinary for you, like when you get into that groove of playing right tackle all of the time, and then you have to move to left guard all of a sudden, or you have to move to left tackle, and your body just can't hold up. And as a tight end, you are asked to pass protect, you're asked to run block, you're asked to run routes. There's just so much going on. And then on top of that, you have to be an athlete getting in and out of breaks, which brings in the ACL injuries. And like, there's just so many things that happen as a tight end to get mm-hmm. yourself injured, that when it comes to that position specifically, it's just like, I think you're going to get banged up and you're going to miss games. And that's the unfortunate nature of football in general, but it's specifically that position for me.
Yeah. I especially, like, if you think about a lot of tight ends are like catching drags with linebackers on their heels, or like they're turning up the sideline with linebackers on their heels, and those linebackers are rolling over their ankles
mm-hmm.
quite a bit. So yeah, that makes a lot of sense to me. We're going to wrap up here with size. And Dalton, I made a late change here on mine.
You made a couple late changes. I saw that.
Notes. I did. But we're going to dive into size here, and I'm going to start here. And my reasoning is because, like, obviously I want to use Tyler Warren's size, but I can't use Tyler Warren's size. That would be a very stupid way to burn Tyler Warren in an exercise like this. But I did find another tight end who is also listed at 6'6", 260 pounds, 32 and a half inch arms. And I'm going to go with UCLA's Maliki Matavau here as the size tight end. And my only reasoning for doing so is because he has the exact same body type as Tyler Warren.
Gross. It's gross. It's gross. Listen, I'm going to go with a tight end who has tight end size. He is 6'5", 250. Weird. And I'm going to use him because he has 10-inch hands. He has 32-plus-inch arms. And we haven't used him in this, and he might go top 50.
I know. It's weird. Yeah.
Mason Taylor from Louisiana State. A guy who there is absolutely no doubting he was hidden in that LSU offense. Mm-hmm. Like, he just was not asked to be a legitimate weapon in that passing attack, used as a flat weapon most of the time. But you see the athleticism when he gets into the open field. And honestly, like, he didn't do the explosive testing at the combine, which is unfortunate. I wish he would have. He ran a sub 4.7, which is kind of what we wanted to see from him. And that was with a subpar 10-yard split. So for me, when I look at him, he also had a very good three cone, 7.06 at 250 pounds. But he has everything that I like in a tight end, specifically the mentality that he plays with. Now, I think there's some improvements that that could be made from him as a blocker, but when you are 250 pounds, and you are used so consistently in pass protection, you're going to get beat. Mason Taylor is going up against edge rushers one-on-one quite often on tape. Mm-hmm. He's going to lose. Every single week in the NFL, we say, why in the hell is that tight end blocking Myles Garrett one-on-one? That's the dumbest thing I've ever seen. But that's just what happens in protections. And Mason Taylor is a guy who, even though he's going to get beat every once in a while as a pass protector, he's not somebody who's going to go out there and just let a guy beat him. He has the mentality to step in and stand his ground against guys. And at 6'5", 250, with the big hands, with the decent arm length, I really like his projection to the next level as an all-around tight end. And I really like the mentality that he has because his dad is a Hall of Famer. Mm-hmm. Like, he doesn't need this blue collar tight end attitude. And he still has that blue collar lunch pail attitude. And I think that that says a lot about his character and where he could go at the next level. Just a really fun player. I really wish that the LSU offense would have asked him to do quite a bit more than they did.
Yeah, in 2023, it made a lot of sense because they had Neighbors and Thomas. So, like, him running flat leaks, just slide flat leaks constantly made a lot of mm-hmm. sense. And we did see a little bit more, like, deep to intermediate, like, corner routes and stuff like that this year. But he was, kind of, especially, like, it's bizarre because LSU's wide receivers really struggled this year, too. Mm-hmm. So, kind of a bummer that we didn't get to see a little more usage. But the tape is the tape, and he's a top 50 player for a lot of people for a reason. But that wraps it up. That wraps it up. So going back through these superlatives, do you want to say anything before we go back through these superlatives, Dalton?
I don't think so. I don't think so. Excited for John Michael Gillenborg next year.
Yes. Yes. He would have been my explosiveness guy this year, or vertical threat. One of the two. Probably vertical threat.
Vertical threat, probably. Dude. Yeah.
Oh, man. If you have not watched Wyoming tight end John Michael Gillenborg, please go do yourself a favor and watch John Michael Gillenborg. He's literally Mike Gesicki reincarnated, like, at a small school. He's so much fun. All right. So going back through this, Dalton, you had Tyler Warren for catch radius, Colson Loveland for route running, Jackson Hawes for blocking, Terrence Ferguson for explosiveness, Harold Fanion Jr. for yak ability, Elijah Royal for vertical threat, and then Mason Taylor for size. I had Colson Loveland at catch radius, Elijah Royal route running, Jackson Hawes blocking, Tyler Warren explosiveness, Harold Fannin Jr. yak ability, Aronde Gadsden for vertical threat, and Maliki Matavau for size.
Good stuff.
All right. 30 minutes on the nose. Look at us.
We are so good at this.
We're getting pretty good at this thing. We're like almost 100 episodes in this year too. So
Dude, that's pretty good. We did pretty good. Wait until we're at like 300, 400, 500. It's going to be insane.
Sky's the limit. With that being said, though, if you guys have listened to all 100 episodes of ours, please go like, rate, review on Apple, Spotify, YouTube, whatever channel, whatever medium you're using to listen, and show us some love on those apps as well. But we're going to be back tomorrow building an offensive tackle. Well, until then, I'm Corey. That's Dalton. This has been the Adapt on Draft Podcast.